Oh my goodness.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to America Matters Radio with Brian Hirsch and Bill the Fixer Elmore. Good news. My partner is back and we have another partner in crime tonight, our infinite source, Angel Miss Eva, who is doing some work for us right now. And we are going to have an open Patriot.
1 minute until showtime.
Welcome back, brother.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, you know what?
Thank you.
I don't know if we're live yet because I'm still getting the recorded message. It appears so in the studio. I'm sorry to interrupt. It appears so in the studio. So to the listeners, we are experiencing once again technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio due to their incompetence, and because it seems like they cannot get their equipment working correctly. So if we get disconnected, I do apologize on behalf of Infinite Source Broadcast Network. It is not our fault. It is their equipment. Sorry to interrupt you, Brian.
I'd rather have you interrupt than let the people know what's going on. Transparency. Not everything is perfect. But if you would like to try to call in, we can give you our number. It's 319-527-6092. And if you want to chat, press 1. Again, back to how are you feeling, Bill?
I'm feeling much better. A little bit bruised, but healing up.
I don't know, man. From them pictures, I'll tell you what. I've been in some scrapes, but what'd you do? Just bounce off the guardrails?
Hit a bridge. But I blew a tire on my camper going about 65.
Wasn't that beautiful? Your tire couldn't pick any other place to blow, but it had to do it by a bridge.
Yeah, downhill, going into a bridge. And, the camper, I tried to steady it, but it was just having none of that. And actually ended up swinging over, sideswiped my van, which then pushed me into the bridge, which effectively stopped me. With no notice. Which then my seatbelt broke loose, and then so I went flying across the van.
Really?
Banged my head into the door, cracked my neck, broke a rib, hit my knee.
Your seatbelt broke.
It just like came undone, snapped undone.
Oh, you might want to have your insurance adjuster look into that, dude.
Yeah.
Serious.
I don't know.
That's malfunction.
Hey, not the first time God saved my life.
Bro, no, those things are supposed to save your life. Oh, wow, bro.
Another interruption, if I may, guys.
Yes, ma'am.
I just received another message from Miss Julie, and she's unable to listen to the show via the phone, and she cannot dial back in.
Oh, so, that means nobody can dial in.
She'll keep trying, and but apparently we are live, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't give me the normal prompt that I was going into the queue. It just kind of just put me in. It's kind of strange. So I guess I just snuck in.
No doubt. We got lucky. Found the open door. Oh, man.
It took four times, but I made it in.
Well, if at first you don't succeed, try again. But I'm glad you're here with us, brother.
I've been
in a couple of the scrapes like that myself, but wow, not with a trailer on the back.
Yeah, it gives it a whole new dimension.
I couldn't imagine that was no different. It's kind of like driving an 18-wheeler. That thing starts to fishtail. Look out.
Yeah, you got to. So I've driven in a lot of, snowy, blizzardy conditions. And when you have the trailer behind you, you've got to counter steer differently. You know what I'm saying?
So normally you
turn into, but you have to do the opposite. And then you can't, until you get the trailer to control, you can't, use your brakes or it'll just slam into the back of you. So it's just a lot of swerving. But once the camper came around,
and put them in the other and seeing which one fills up first.
Exactly.
Ultimately,
the bridge.
You said it was a trailer tire?
Yeah, so one of the rear trailer tires blew out.
Do they still have for the truck drivers, the off-road, when you're coming downhill going towards Tennessee? I know they have them in Tennessee because I've seen them.
Well, yeah. I was actually right on the border of Pennsylvania and Ohio. A lot of little miracles, right? So there was a state patrol officer right behind me, and he saw it starting to wobble. So he turned on his lights and stopped all the traffic behind me. That was a miracle.
Ooh.
Lucky.
Because otherwise it would have been a pile up.
See?
The camper ended up being out on the highway. Yeah.
Wow.
You were being watched.
Yeah, and I think the seatbelt coming undone probably saved my legs because I would have just smashed forward. And instead, I went sideways and ended up in the floor in front of the passenger seat.
Wow.
Fetal position.
We have Miss Julie in the studio now.
Hi, guys. I'm so glad to hear your voice, Bill. I'm so sorry for what has happened, and I'm glad to know that you are home.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's great to be back in Tennessee with my family. Just heal it up.
Pardon the dogs in the background, they're just doing their job.
No, that's okay. I have one that's begging to go outside, so forgive me while I open the door.
I don't need an alarm.
In any case. No, right, exactly. Dogs are the best security, and they seem to
have a corgi that's, I have a corgi that's pretty much blind, but he's like 16 years old, and he like barks at anything he thinks he hears. So, yeah, it's pretty much a non-stop bark fest. But, c'est la vie, at least I save money on an alarm.
Absolutely.
How's the storm going up there, Julie?
Thank you for asking. The wind has died down quite a bit since late this afternoon, but we had some gusts that were like to 70 miles an hour, and there's conservation land behind the house, so I could hear trees snapping, and it's pretty wet. The ground, we've had a lot of rain, so that's always a concern in terms of power outages and stuff, but we've been fine. So I'm grateful, and I'm cozy inside, and it's all good. Thank you for asking.
Oh, my pleasure. I got a picture. Are you talking about crazy? Just like Bill, we got to keep our brothers and sisters safe and know they're all right.
Absolutely. So did you guys see? I was thinking of Bill today because I heard Vivek Ramaswamy talking about how we get rid of this bloated government, and he came up with an idea about putting term limits on the people who serve in the three-letter agencies. And he actually said, you know, 8 years at the IRS, 8 years at the FBI, and it made me think of you, Bill, because you are such a proponent for term limits to get rid of some of the corruption.
Absolutely. Yeah. And specifically, my thing is in Congress, right? No more life terms in Congress. Just sync it up with the presidential terms. You get, you know, two chances at 4 years in office. If you don't get voted back in after your first four, you shouldn't be there anyhow. And after the second four, you know, it gives you enough time, if you are good, to get some things accomplished, train up whoever's going to replace you, and then move on.
Yep.
So, you know, no longer dying in the chair.
Well, here's this. As far as term limits in the three-letter agencies, I think for the lower level, they need to gain that experience. So I don't think term limits for the lower levels would serve any kind of purpose, because the only thing you'll have when they get up to the top level is a bunch of know-nothing dumbasses like we got now.
That's a good point.
I mean, have the term limits. I would give minimum 10 years for the top level officials.
Oh, I think that's way too long.
for the ones we got now,
minimum?
Yeah. They're overdue.
No, like with FBI agents, and I'm trying to look up to see how much an FBI agent makes yearly. And I just think that is, did you find it before me? Okay. Oh my gosh. You know, they can make bank, man. I'd say definitely. We'll say I'm averaging it out. 2023, 70 grand a year. And that the base salary is 44,000 to 117,000. Then you get your bonuses of 286 to 21,000. And then
you got to look at certain different levels, like special agents and where they're working in different places.
Profit sharing, 0 to 1,000. Commission.
They get profit sharing.
Commission, 0 to 874. Total pay, 45,000 to 123,000. I'm not going to read the rest of it.
I think I'm with Brian on that, though. The agents, I mean, you can have a career as a police officer, right? And an FBI agent, you want them to get experience. And so the agent level, lower level, right? But at the top, and we're saying term limits. They're not elected, right?
Right.
They're put in their position,
but when they're working against we the people, we're paying them to enslave us.
We have sheriffs who are elected officials. Why can't we have top FBI brass that's an elected official?
You know what? You have a valid point there, Brian.
I think that is a valid point. I also think that what we're yearning for is a bit of transparency. I mean, the effort to put bookends on a career at the decision-making level, not necessarily at the agent level, which I think is a really important point, is one strategy. But what we're really trying to prevent is a kind of corruption and a kind of bias. And I think term limits do it, but I also really believe that there needs to be much more financial transparency, that it's really not okay if a person ends up as a public servant becoming extremely wealthy, you know, in a way that is consistent in that there's no other real sources of income. You know, I guess I have the Biden family scheme on the top of my mind, but I mean, I really appreciate that Ramaswamy's idea is that government is now not just the elected officials, which is the point, Bill, I think you just made, and it's really important. It's not just elected officials, but how do you prevent the corruption in the bloated administrative state? I mean, I think that the idea of shortening their terms when it comes to a certain level of management makes sense. But how else do you stop these people from becoming basically a weaponized arm of a party?
Well, they're not afraid of the legal system, so you got to hit them where it hurts. You hit them in their wallet.
Yep.
Well, just like Julie had posted about Ashley Biden owing money, taxes. And
yep, she is.
She's her net worth is, what, over $2 million, correct, Julie?
Yes, the estimates are between $1 and $2.5 million. And she apparently has a $5,000 tax lien that is several years old. And it begs the question, why does a millionaire have a tax lien? And so part of what I posted was, you know, it's kind of like Hunter Biden, who purportedly makes $3 million a year in lobbying and is worth, you know, tens of millions of dollars. Why did he need his dad to go down to a truck lot to help him sign a loan? These seem to me like contrivances, like an effort to put out the story that these people really come from modest means and they're, you know, and they needed to have a lien for $5,000, though worth, you know, making far more than that in in investment payments, I'm sure, every year. So why is this happening? I think it's because they really want to spin the Biden narrative to the idea that these are, you know, it's working class Joe, and, you know, Hunter didn't have the money to buy a truck. I mean, it's preposterous, right? But
I think the diamond he got from China would have covered it.
Absolutely. I mean, this guy makes how much money, and he can't afford to pay child support? There's a level of despicable
Julie,
there.
A struggling artist. Come on now.
Well,
who gets his seed money when he flies over to Beijing on Air Force Two with Dad? I mean, we're not talking about $1 million, right? We're talking about a considerable amount of seed money. I mean, the fact that these people play so loose with money, and that this idea that they're all tax evaders. I mean, how can Joe Biden be out there saying we need the rich to pay their fair share when both of his kids have serious problems because they don't pay their taxes?
I want to know why a person, a private citizen that has all of these things against him like Hunter does, laptop proof, everything, is still allowed near a secure government facility.
Why was he allowed near Joe Biden's Delaware garage where there were secret, top secret documents being stored while he was snuffling about with his friends? I mean, come on. That's insane.
While he owed those taxes and his child support, he was paying almost $1 million a year on escorts and prostitutes, right? And he paid his taxes.
That's crazy.
And then my question is, are the IRS agents knocking on Ashley Biden's door?
Well, look, we know how the DOJ controls kind of what's going to happen in terms of prosecutions and how seriously these things are taken. Look at what happened to the two whistleblowers who blew up the Biden family scheme. One who was a Democrat, this was not a partisan attack. This was two career, reputable guys saying, look, we know something shady is happening here, and we're not being allowed to investigate it. I mean, these people know that they have cover. They must. How do the Bidens have 150-plus suspicious activity reports, and they're still able to have a bank account? Like, for you and I, if we had a few of those, that would be the end of the game. So somehow this kind of corruption is so insidious that these people feel free to be flagrant about the fact that the rules don't apply to them, I think.
Oh, no, I know somebody who
should still be in the negative.
I know somebody that owed the IRS $5,000 and an agent went to their house. over $5,000.
Well, hell, the race baiter there, Al Sharpton, owes him over $5 million, and he's still walking free.
And
he was even an Obama aide.
I did not know Al Sharpton. I didn't know that.
Oh,
yes,
oh, yes. And he's making bank off of, I forget which news channel he's on, but he has a full-time job. He's, you know, a cush job that he's making money, and he's, it's just, it's ridiculous. Double
standards,
you know.
That's a really significant amount. $5 million is extreme and excessive. And, and it represents a kind of uneven application of the law that really makes a person cynical if you're paying attention. It's pretty outrageous.
I'm telling you right now, Julie, there are so many examples of uneven application of the law with these people. It's getting sickening.
It really is, and you wonder what the tipping point is going to be. I mean, do you see the liberal media beginning to turn a little bit on the Biden administration? You see Democrat governors requesting money, you know, federal support because of the open border, which is an implicit acknowledgement that the policies of Biden are a real problem by people who are loathed to admit it, you know. I just wonder at what point the media will recognize that they have to cut bait, you know?
Well, I don't know. John, looks like John Fetterman is getting ready to be the next target.
So that's really interesting. I keep reading posts about people saying, you know, Fetterman, and I love anybody who really is patriotic and wants to go for America First policies. But I am cynical now, having been alive in this... present in this country for the last few years, and I wonder how much of this is about spinning his public appeal.
I think he sees the public opinion on Joe Biden, and he's trying to distance himself.
I think
a lot of Democrats are.
A lot of this, I believe, is just dangling carrots in front of our eyes to make us believe. Giving us the illusion that something is actually happening. If something was actually happening, then Joe Biden would not be president, period.
If something was actually happening, we'd be holding tribunals and watching it on an emergency broadcast system while they build the gallows in front of Capitol Hill.
Exactly. Hashtag Logan Act.
Hashtag treason, period.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it is funny because it's so extreme and you see more permutations of it every day. And when you compare this to what was done to Trump with very little, if any, credible evidence, it's just mystifying. It's unbelievable that people buy the propaganda. It stuns me sometimes. I live in Massachusetts, so I live among a lot of people who still remain somewhat supportive of Biden, and it's stunning to me. You know, they're the same people who are driving around in masks.
That makes me nervous. I can't see a woman with your intelligence sitting amongst all those people. I can't imagine.
You know,
you must take a lot of Excedrin.
I know. Listen, my friends are all forewarned, and they have been my whole life. I've never been shy to say what I think. I've always been a conservative, and you know, you have to acquire kind of a tougher skin because people, you know, didn't like my position on the vaccine. They don't, you know, but whatever, it is what it is. I have family connections that keep us tied to this community, and you know, I very much would prefer not to be in the People's Republic of Taxachusetts. However, life circumstances drive some of our decision-making, and that's okay. You know,
I have noticed a lot of Dem cities have taken on the prefix the People's Republic of.
Well, you know, in Massachusetts...
You're out there in the People's Republic of California.
I knew that was going to get thrown in the mix.
Well, you know,
absolutely.
That's like the Viper's Den, man. They're in D.C. Good Lord.
Yeah.
The more Eddie Munster opens his mouth, they feed off of when we seethe and get so angry over
this. Hollywood, California douchebag with the product in his hair, his tailored suits, and his pearly white teeth.
I think that he's one of the most, because I see his heart, and I think that he is just one of the most unattractive men I've ever had laid my eyes on. And he makes me sick to my stomach.
My mom used to say, you know, beauty is only skin deep, but ugliness goes right to the bone.
That is him to the core, But yeah. And you notice that there's so many more pretenders. I mean, actors that are coming out and saying, "Oh, Donald Trump gets elected, and we're leaving the United States." You know, I think that they're just rubbing it in our faces. They're all liar, liar, pants on fire, and none of them are going to do it because they know that cheating's in the future here, in the very near future.
They're definitely planning a cheat. There's no doubt in my mind. All of the evidence, like the most recent evidence coming out of Fulton County, that there were like 17,000 ballots that were essentially invalid, and you know, Trump lost by 11,000. I mean, the evidence of cheating is just mounting. I think there's no question that there's going to be an effort, a strong one.
And the Supreme Court won't.
Every time one of those, like Michigan, just dropped and said Trump can remain on the ballot there, every time one of those states that was doing that drops it, he gets higher in the polls. He now has, I believe, 69% of the GOP approval.
Well, I think it's time for, you know, DeSantis and Haley and, you know, this is actually part of what I was going to say before, and I lost my train of thought for a moment. People are striving to be relevant by bashing Trump. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody cares about Cher until she says, "I'm going to leave the country if he wins." I mean, okay, great. You know, tie a yellow ribbon. We'll see ya. It's kind of funny that this is like the vogue way of doing it. Rob Reiner, you know, seems to have his own little ex-career on the basis of bashing Trump.
I think
that politicians are doing...
Carol O'Connor and the man who created that gave him the proper name, Meathead.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's an idiot.
Absolutely.
They're singers and actors. We spend our hard-earned money to hear your music and watch you pretend to be characters in movies on TV. Your only job is to entertain us. Take us away from reality. Your personal opinion means nothing to us. You are significant and insignificant and influential only in your own mind and within
right.
the minds of your elitist peers. You are a marionette to us and nothing more. Sing, act, shut up.
Exactly.
I agree. And the only way that they gain traction in this environment is to be, you know, full of "I can't stand Trump,"
most of those are the ones that are trying to resurrect irrelevant dead careers.
Exactly right. And at some point, again, you know, when is the levee going to break? I mean, when will there be enough of the Biden corruption juxtaposed to the mistreatment of Trump that people who are so tethered to their liberal virtue will begin to reconsider what's actually happening?
We're already ready, but we still actually have a little faith in the leaders that are left to represent us to stand up.
Yep. What do you guys think of Johnson? What do you think of his performance?
I personally think what I thought the when he first of all put on a show bringing the Bible up and I think that he's just a bait and switch kind of a guy, and I don't trust him after this. You know, no more monies to Ukraine, and he's right up there with Chuck Schumer and Turtle, Mitch McConnell, you know, sharing a seat next to him, and
yep.
he signed it off to give him money. So I think that he's just one of those traitors also.
Yep. What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence. You have to recognize that it's a tough position to be in, but if you're going to make a commitment, that's just my feeling, if you're going to make a commitment, no more money, then there's no more money. You know, find
right.
a place to compromise. Right? And I don't. Nobody's going to have the will to take him out, you know, after everything they went through with McCarthy and they're trying to get him in. So they'll let it ride. You know, he's going to ride out until that election. But he's going to have to make some tough compromises, but I don't think he's making the right choices, in my opinion.
I think so, too. I think it creates a credibility problem, and the appearance that the J6 tape release was just like in a movie. You know, here's a little something to nibble on. See, I've given you what I said I would give you in part, at least.
Right.
Yep.
There's
and
20,000 hours. This will keep you busy for a while I go to the deal.
Exactly. And you can discuss J6 while we fund Ukraine, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
What do you think, I'm sorry, Brian, what were you thinking
him? From now on, all I can see is Zelensky dancing on a pole for Biden. It's getting ridiculous. I'm sick of it.
Well, I mean, first of all, I really resent the showing up in the army fatigue green sweatsuit, as well coordinated an elf as he appears to be. It's
really
kind of like,
after seeing him in them high heels, I still call him the Ukrainian homosexual hobbit.
No, there. Some of that footage of him is just brutal. I mean, and some of it's really pretty disgusting.
It
I don't
is.
Think would be allowed to air on American TV. And, you know, his sort of, you know, the clowning it up thing. But honestly, do you have respect for the legislators that you are addressing? I mean, is it that difficult for you to have a suit? Or is it that you really want people to think that this is how you roll in your private jet?
he's in a war now. Come on.
It's just, it seems so incredible the degree to which every sort of, how much of these impressions are curated, you know, like Fetterman has a curated image and Zelensky has a curated image. Like, it would be nice to think that our leaders were more genuine. And I'm not saying Zelensky is one of our leaders. That silence was so thick you could cut it.
Oh, my God.
I was actually on mute laughing. Oh, that was a good one.
Bill's probably hurting like hell right now.
Exactly. I got a broken rib. Remember, you got to be careful. I mean, he definitely has the Castro feel, right? If you want to come across as a dictator, you know, wear the green suit everywhere you go. It's just we know he has suits. We know he's got dance suits, right? We know he's got
he
money.
He doesn't remind me
right?
of Castro.
Yeah.
That's what he reminds me of. Shrek, Lord Farquaad.
Well, at least Castro's was an actual uniform.
At least Castro actually served in the military.
And he,
Well, you know, they only make those short suits and mechanic outfits. You know?
Can't cost much to make his outfit.
What's terrible is that you know that there are Ukrainian people who are suffering. You know that there are people who are suffering regardless of politics, and that there are too many elites who seem to take life a little bit for granted. I was offended very much the last few times Zelensky has suggested, one, he said, if you don't give me more American tax dollars, I can't hold elections. That seems to me not only coercive, but that's like a, hey, guess what? I'm a dictator. Hey.
Right,
okay,
right.
So,
exactly.
So, yes,
right along with the suit.
Exactly.
And he doesn't hold elections.
I figured out why he only wears one outfit.
Why?
He can't afford anymore. His wife is still too busy chasing down that elusive Gucci bag.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. I mean, at some point, how much more do you need? And clearly, he's a person with a lot. And what about the people he represents who are suffering?
Exactly.
You know, while he's, you know, hanging out, whatever. I just... really not a fan of that. But then he also came, I just want to finish this, he came back with another kind of really coercive and disturbing statement that then seemed to be a little bit echoed by the Biden administration, which was, if you don't give us more money, you know, continue to leave it, let us be on the American taxpayer teat, then you will need to use U.S. ground forces to engage in the war. And that is like basically saying, give me money or your kids are going to die. I don't know if you guys reduce it that way, but that's how I reduce it. And I find
exactly
that
how I saw it.
I think it's really offensive. Really, really offensive. The American people are some of the most generous in the world, you know, more than happy to be supportive of people who need help. But when we get the sense that there's rampant corruption, nobody wants to talk about accountability for the funds that have already been advanced. And we're talking about, you know, it's your fault if we fail, is the whole kind of coercive message. And at some point it's going to cost you blood as well as money. I just think, you know what, if somebody kind of like pitched that to me and I had any control, I would tell them to pound salt and see you later. I find it offensive.
Amen.
And where is the audit that Johnson promised us?
Right.
Yep.
Right. It's
that
a really good point.
You know, I'm so tired of this smoke just blowing up our buns and nothing being done. Nothing. And, yeah, what tapes? Okay. We already knew what was on those tapes that he released. So none of that was really any news to us. We knew that it was corrupt. We knew that it was orchestrated by Nancy Pelosi and her little dog, Toto.
Don't talk about
Nancy
like that.
No, I'm talking about...
No,
I'm talking about,
she don't have Toto anymore. She went to Georgia and Stacey Abrams ate him.
Oh my gosh, I did see a good meme though, Brian. Remember that? Oh, and Bill, remember that guy that called into Brian's show, the one
Joe?
That had the,
John,
the
Joe
different
Smith.
The
Joe.
No, the odd name that you were supposed to be on his show. Well,
he
didn't follow me. Follow me back. So I didn't go on. I'm like, you know, I'm going to follow me back.
This meme says that George Floyd had as much fentanyl in him as Stacey Abrams is big.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's a lot of fentanyl.
You know, the whole thing is, though, this reminds me of a news story that was out today, that there were four social media influencers, all of whom were really, really morbidly obese. Not kind of heavy, very, very heavy set people. and that all of them were out advocating, you know, against shaming people who are very heavy. All four of them died before they were 45 years old. At some point, this idea that, like, you can't, you know, it's off limits because we've decided, there are actual public health interests in making sure that people realize the importance of being healthy. I guess it's a little bit gruff, but when I think of Stacey Abrams, I think of a person who's not particularly healthy, you know? And I'm not sure that it's unreasonable to say that's off limits. For example, people, you know, dog Chris Christie quite a bit because of his weight. But to tell you the truth,
he leads the way off the Christie creams.
Well, I'm not, but this is the thing. People signal some things that are true about themselves. And I would be worried, without evidence to the contrary, that the guy's not very good when it comes to impulse control. You know, I want leaders.
Sure. Oh, no. There actually is video of him out there at restaurants. That is a sketch.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch a snuff film.
Well,
that's scary.
And then look at Lizard. I mean Lizzo. I just pulled this up, and it says the singer reportedly weighed more than 300 pounds. Well, yeah, because she was pushing more close to 500 pounds, and then she allegedly dropped 260 pounds. That is not healthy. And yeah, I'm a smidge overweight, so I can body shame anybody.
No, I went from 265 to 190.
What I'm trying to say is, though, it's not just body shaming. That there's a way in which it's also rationally about being healthful.
For sure.
You know,
right.
And I'm not saying that. That I want to shame anyone. I really don't. But the idea that you glorify a person people who manifestly don't exercise reasonable health choices is just bad. It's just stupid. It's like, you know, I don't think that's about tolerance.
You know as well as I do, with certain people, there is a point where they need to put down the spoon and step away from the pudding.
But, well, Rosie O'Donnell, you're right. It's like, you know, Rosie O'Donnell saying that spoons made her fat. Come on.
Look at Kathy Griffin.
She
looks like an 85-year-old man.
I don't know that. You know, yuck. But
that's karma, Brian.
I really don't think that when somebody speaks the truth, that it is necessarily body shaming. Okay?
Right.
Because I can say I have flying squirrel arms, my kids, because I have that flab, you know, under the arms, which is very, very hard to lose. And my kids used to say that I had flying squirrel arms. And it's true. They look like flying squirrel arms. And I can say that I'm a fatty McFatFat because I am overweight. Am I happy with myself? No. Do I have a medical problem? Hopefully.
But you know what? That's the thing. It's about people saying, it's about the idea that it's important to be healthy, right? And that everybody's
right.
Trying to get there. And it doesn't mean that you're not a valuable and important person if that's not true. But I'm just saying, it's like that commercial you see all the time, the little pill with a big story to tell. You have morbid, you're morbidly obese, you have diabetes. It's okay. Just take a pill. I mean, what kind of message are you sending to kids? You know, it's that's just fine. We'll just medicate you so that we can get rid of some of the symptoms. And if you have a heart attack, oh, well. I mean, that's just crazy.
Well, that's
it
the
is
thing,
crazy,
that's all they
Julie.
Do nowadays is they want to give it a pill instead of just addressing the situation. And the pill that they give you has more damn side effects than the problem you're taking the pill for.
Exactly.
Right. And who in their right mind – is going to trade that off? You know,
you, just
you can't control
the head, who in their right
you
mind.
You can't control a lot of, wait, let me rephrase that. A lot of people can control diabetes just by changing their eating habits. Your diet has
sure.
so much to do with that. And
yep.
so you're pre-diabetic. What are you going to do? You're going to cut out all the carbs. Cut out all the carbs. And I bet you dollars to donuts, one of my mom's famous sayings, that that you're not going to be a pre-diabetic anymore.
Right. And if you were, if you caught COVID sometime in 2020, if you were healthier, your odds of having a terrible outcome as a result of having COVID were greatly diminished. I mean,
right.
I guess the point I'm trying to make is that it's not just about, quote, shaming or validating somebody. It's about having an honest discussion about health and symbols, I
oh.
think. You know, and that's not to diminish anybody's personal experience. I'm sure that there are lots of people who are born with diabetes, and it's a lifelong struggle that they have type 1 or whatever. And,
right.
and it's important to recognize the challenges that come with that. But I also think this whole thing about being politically correct, to the extent that, you know, you're trying so hard to make a message palatable that you obliterate the point. I mean, we want kids to emulate healthy choices. Why are we having social media influencers with so much, you know, sort of gravitas? I mean, obviously, this was related to their advocacy for non-fat shaming. This is how they gained a platform. It was sort of on the basis of obesity.
Yeah,
why are these
people?
Right. Why would they be glorified and you know, whatever, and absolutely horrible and tragic that four young people died way too young.
And that,
so
is,
just,
that is so
pulled,
utterly sad.
I just pulled both our topics together, Zelensky and Abrams. I just sent it to all three of your DMs. Wish we could share memes on radio, but...
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think he would have been disappointed in that Abrams tank.
See what you did there, Brian.
look at how things. Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
Thank God you had rules.
Thank you, Bill.
I'm just trying to pull the whole program together, you know. And
very well done.
They glorify this. Look at how many obese people are just gluttons. They are just overeating on these
TikToks. But
there are
people that are bigger people that it's just in their DNA to be bigger people.
Right.
Okay. Okay. And yeah. And I understand that. Okay. But
me, I'm not one of those bigger people because I got Crohn's disease. But every one of my family members are bigger people. But that's because we're Hungarian and Irish. We're just bigger people.
Okay.
And I
understand that. But when you get paid X amount of dollars for making a pig out of yourself,
yeah,
doing
these
TikToks,
no.
overeating, and it is the most unhealthiest food. There's this one woman, and oh my gosh, I get nauseated just looking at her, and I don't subscribe to TikTok at all, and she just you know it's. She has like 10 plates of food, and she's going to devour every single plate of food there. And that is just, and it's people are obsessed to watch them do that. It makes
that one
stomach
show they have on TV? It's called My 600 Pound Life.
Oh my
no.
gosh!
Yeah.
Do they really?
They glorify this.
What a weird thing to want to have. You assume that people want to watch that for a voyeuristic kick, right? They want to see what is it like to have that experience.
Well,
what
so
a weird...
than that Teen Mom, the glorified kids getting pregnant.
Oh, 16 and pregnant, yeah.
That's it. There you go.
Yeah, well, I was telling Eva some time ago, my dad was really strict about television, and we were like, you know, Welcome Back, Kotter was considered subversive. He was like,
yeah.
I don't want you glorifying in your mind people who misbehave, who, you know,
love,
are the kids.
Yeah, I got to watch Archie Bunker at 16.
Yep, okay.
You know, but your dad, I mean, he had the right idea. And
yeah,
that is good. That's being a good parent.
Well, see, that's how the family structure was back then, because there was family time, there was adult time, and that was it. You had family time like after dinner to like 7 or 8 o'clock, maybe 9 o'clock on the weekends, 10 if you're lucky. And then from that time on, you went to bed. The kids went to bed. It was adult time.
My dad used to gather us around the TV to watch Lawrence Welk.
We would have that on Saturday night.
Wasn't that on radio?
My dad gathered us around the TV to
change
the channel.
Yeah, that was...
But you know, these, at least it was family time, you know, and
he had three stations.
Pardon me?
Yeah, my dad was lucky. He could kick back on the couch. He had 7 of us, but that was back when we still had 3 channels. He would be able to have one of us there changing the channel and the dial while the other one was outside with the antenna, spinning the antenna to get the good signal.
Exactly. Oh, my God. So I did a post back in November, and it was mean of me, but I just sent it to your DMs, but it was the fattest man in the world in 1944 or something like that, or 1890.
Yeah.
Versus Chris Christie. And they're sitting in the same position on stage. They're like, people used to pay to see the man on the left. Maybe this is a fundraising opportunity.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? Look,
Hampshire.
Look at that face, though. They could be related.
They absolutely could be related. And they have the same body language. You know what I mean?
Like,
round.
Round, but also belly out. There's no, like, effort to hide that. It's just...
He did that man 2 roles in Hollywood for the rest of his life, and that's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Well, remember how big Jerry Nadler used to be? And then he lost... He lost some weight. He didn't lose his tailor, though, but he lost some weight.
And that was the penguin. He looks like Burgess Meredith from back in the day.
Well, but
he was ginormous.
I'm pretty sure he got a lap band, but Chris Christie got one, too, but he broke it.
Wow.
Yeah,
talk about,
seriously.
Like, impulse control issues. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I know what I'll do.
I'll
surgically alter my body.
You see, and that's another thing. Instead of pushing, you know, healthier choice in eating and exercise, you know, it's go get that lap band surgery.
Yep.
Well,
really
push healthiness. Look at the attorney generals of most of your liberal states. They're all overweight.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Look at the one in Pennsylvania. That's an overweight man.
Look at the people that are in control of the health, they're related to the health organizations of the government. You have ones that are so unhealthy, they're so skinny, either they're skinny or they're fat. You ever notice that lunch ladies are 99% of them are overweight?
I'm trying to figure out who that one is that was supposed to have control over the baby formula and all that during the shipping crisis. That looks like Keith Richards and drag.
Oh well, my goodness! Look at Michelle Obama's healthy choices for school lunches. Kids refuse to eat that crap.
Hmm. Wouldn't you?
Well, anything that somebody like that suggests or makes it mandatory that it's going to be in the schools, you bet. I would have pulled my kid out of school if they were trying to force feed my children that. And it's a shame. It really is a shame.
They don't want to eat. At least not that crap.
Our country has enough resources to feed children well. Given the amount that our government dedicates to, for example, shoring up Ukrainian pensions, it just strikes me as pretty much criminal that we have children who go to bed hungry, and we also have families at this point who, given this economy, are forced to make often not very healthy food choices. In a serious way, there's an absolute relationship between the health of our nation and the priority our government puts upon health. And if you look at the drug crisis, you look at the homelessness, you look at, the number of people in this country before 10 million illegals crossed in, the number of people who needed help, the fact that we just kind of turn our back or just toss money at the problem and don't handle it in an effective way. I mean, in Boston, they were sending out packages with clean crack pipes. I'm sorry, facilitating somebody's drug use is not a way of helping them.
No,
because when they were distributing that stuff and it was put out over the internet, they were trying to debunk it, saying that it was false, but it was true.
Yep. They have buildings where you can go and shoot up, where they're supplying you with clean needles.
This is a shame. Yep, it's just a real. In my opinion, as a taxpayer, it is my preference that as a civilized society, we take care of truly marginalized people in effective ways. And it's not always pleasant, and it's not always easy, but allowing people to squander on the streets is not humane. It's not humane. And allowing American children to go to bed hungry, not humane. Now, I don't think the government can replace a family or a church or a community, and I don't think they should. But I think at some level, the priorities ought to reflect the American taxpayers and American people before they reflect Ukrainian pensions, for example,
Our money should reflect on us more at first before anybody.
First and foremost, you are right, Brian. Yes.
Yep.
I am so sick of hearing and seeing our veterans, oh gosh.
That's ridiculous.
That's a sore subject with me because my heart just cries for our veterans. After all what they have sacrificed for these political parasites that are in office right now, how dare they treat them this way?
I agree with you. I mean, it's another really stunning lack.
The only thing treated well are the foreign soldiers. They want to make sure they have the weaponry they need. But we are scavenging World War II equipment to fix our new equipment.
Right, and look at when the insurrection happened. How many military men and women had to sleep on the cold floor of a garage.
It's outrageous. How about the Army-Navy game being held in Massachusetts and, many veterans book their travel arrangements for that game well in advance to include, like, the hotel and, you know, air travel and whatnot. And Massachusetts would not allow them to come and stay in the hotels because they were being occupied by immigrants.
That was aggravating.
And then they showed on the news, you know, trying to make this look all good and nice, this, like, gymnasium where they had cots set up with little pillows for the veterans. And I thought, this is absolutely ridiculous. An elderly person is going to travel to go sleep on a cot? Like, I can't even process the willingness to put that out there and to do so unabashedly, to make it so clear what the priority is. I was with you, Brian. It really, really irked me.
So what are we going to do about this unacceptable behavior of our government? You know, because here we are, four people, and we're sitting here, you know, chit-chatting and playing the blame game, yes, technically. And, I mean, yes, our voices are getting heard, but it's going to take more than just us four to actually make a difference. Bill, you're awfully silent.
Bill's
open up.
I was looking at memes, but no.
He's over here trying to kill me with memes.
Yeah.
He's just making
sure how bad, you have no idea how bad I'm holding laughing back right now.
So I've been off X for about 4 days, you know, just kind of sporadically coming in. So I got on today and I'm like, okay, I gotta start doing something. And I looked, what's trending? And Civil War was trending. Right.
Wow.
And but not for the reason I thought it was. First, I'm like, oh my God, 4 days, we're talking about Civil War now, right? But it was really about them tearing down the Civil War monument.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, oh good. That didn't start yet. I didn't miss it.
You know.
But
right.
You know.
Because that's such a priority.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
they're putting up satanic, you know. Statues everywhere, and they're tearing down, you know, Civil War statues. Still,
that statue didn't stay up very long.
And really, can I ask you guys what you think the point of this is? You know, most people realize that you have to understand history to learn from it and to not repeat those errors, and that every human being, like every culture, is full of both good and bad. And it's all just a part of the mix. I don't understand why, you know, aside from this push for revisionist history, I can't really see a rational purpose for destroying cultural icons.
That's your first mistake. You're trying to give a rational answer to an irrational decision.
Right.
Well,
did you
see the movie, I think it's Fahrenheit 451?
Yeah,
like
I just watched it.
I read the book. Yeah.
Okay, even better. So it's a classic Marxist, you know, method is you erase the history, right? You rewrite the history. You make it what you want it to be to suit your cause and your agenda.
Yep.
So they're, you know, systematically they've been doing it for many years, trying to, you know. You know, the Holocaust didn't happen, right?
Right.
I mean, that's just outrageous. There's a lot of people all
right with the
Aryan race. October 7th didn't happen, right? They're already saying, you know, 9/11 didn't happen. So
right. If
you go back far enough, and you know, their logic, you know, is, or at least what they're portraying is, right, these were evil people, we shouldn't be glorifying them. But you're right. If you do not remember history, you're doomed to repeat it. And they're
Absolutely.
Just dumbing down our youth more and more and erasing the history so they can't learn about it so that they can rewrite it to their agenda.
Yep.
And I
think for most people, seeing is believing. If you don't see it, you don't think about it.
I think partly is to check us off to see how far they can push the envelope. Are we going to take the first shot because of that? We're not that
stupid.
Well, and
that
stupid.
Is, among some of the Civil War posts I've seen, there is a growing theme that they want a civil war to start. They want the first fire to be shot so they can declare martial law so that they can shut down voting, right? So I don't know how much it's a theory, right? But
I believe they're at the point of desperation to try it.
Right, they don't have COVID anymore, right? So they can't
enforce
mail-in ballots and the bosses and all that stuff, right? They can't. So they're going to need something because otherwise nobody's going to believe the steal this time. No one's, not even on the Democrat side. And in fact, the 4 days that I've been off, probably because I've been silent, I've had more Democrats start following me, right? And they're just fed up with what the Biden administration and this government has been doing. And they're, they want to return to sanity. And, I was saying this before I left, I'm trying to find better ways to bridge those gaps. It's easier with Democrats, I'm finding, than DeSantis followers. But I still hold out hope for them that they'll come back into the fold, with 69%, at this point. A cat turd tweet went viral. He started with game over. I mean, game over, game over, game over, game over. Didn't explain it, but if you read through the comments, it was Trump is so far ahead. DeSantis, all these people just need to back out. If they have any integrity right now, back out, fall in line and, get the party or whatever we have. Get Trump back in office. And we got to do that.
I think that's right.
Yeah, DeSantis was on Morning Joe and just, coming out of left field with his take on things. And he's such a disappointment. I mean, I was in DeSantis's corner for a while, and then I saw his true colors. And it's like, you're just another POS.
He'd look good in a green short suit.
Oh my gosh, does he not look like a little Keebler elf?
For sure, the pointy boots.
I still believe that he there was a story floated a long time ago that he was partially funded by Soros Dark Money, and I kind of believe
that.
With
the company that he keeps? Oh, most definitely.
Yep. And people keep talking about Nikki Haley. I did a little research and found that she was a 2011 graduate of the WEF's Young Global Leaders Program.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. A lot of them. A lot of them are in the WEF, okay? You have, goodness gracious, the one that has the blonde streak in her hair, Hawaii.
Tulsi Gabbard.
Tulsi Gabbard. Plus, Tulsi is a gun grabber, too. If you look at her her webpage, it spells it out right there.
Really? I haven't looked at it.
When Nikki was the governor of South Carolina, she sold land to the Chinese Republic government.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Nikki Haley,
she's a globalist. Yeah,
sure.
She is.
On the Soros funding, though, Julie, on the Soros funding, you have to understand that Soros funded anybody who was against Trump, too. So
right.
I saw very early on in DeSantis' campaign that, he...
Hello? Uh-oh. here we go again.